You are listening to The Recovered Therapist, brought to you by FreshOutOfPlans.com. I'm Jeannie Griffin, and I'll be your host. Instead of focusing on labels, diagnoses, and psychobabble, we keep things honest, simple, and hopeful, so that you can grow personally and spiritually. Thank you for joining me.
Okay, I'm going to try to explain something, and it's taken me a long time to get my head around it. So I'll try to do a good job, and if for some reason you still have no clue what I'm talking about when you finish listening to this podcast, send me an email at info@freshoutofplans.com and say, good luck, Jeannie, but we have no clue what you're talking about. So here, what's the topic? The topic is a phrase my sponsor has told me about 1,000 times at least and took me a long time to understand. He said, the facts get in the way of the truth. The facts get in the way of the truth. Okay, I'll come back to that in just a minute. When I was studying for my master's degree in mental health and substance use counseling, I had to take group process, and we were taught to pay attention to the process rather than the content. And coming from an alcoholic home, I had no clue what that meant because there was no process and very little content in addicted homes. There were just gaps in learning. That's a whole other podcast I'll talk about another day. So I didn't know what they meant by content and process, or the facts get in the way of the truth. So let me try to break it down this way. When you're listening to somebody in therapy, or especially couples, they will talk about facts, details, the story. You didn't take out the trash for 3 weeks. I had to do it. You bought something for $500 and we didn't discuss it. You know, let's see, common one. Anyway, it goes into kind of all the scorekeeping stuff. That doesn't matter. I know it matters to the people involved, but what is more important is to look at what's going on in the process. And it's not about who took out the trash. It's about scorekeeping in a marriage that can really destroy it. If I do two things, you have to do two things. And that scorekeeping is what we want to take a look at. Another part of the content, it doesn't make any difference about any of those facts I just mentioned, but are you in a process of one-upmanship? If I say, gosh, I'm tired from work, well, then I have to one-up you. Well, your work doesn't demand what mine does, blah, blah, blah. Then we start arguing about who has the worst work, when we really need to be looking at, what is this need to have to scorekeep? Why do I have to have one-upmanship? Okay, so when my sponsor used to say, the facts get in the way of the truth, I was just as clueless there. But what he's meaning is the story. And when we start listening to the story instead of looking at the process, a couple of things trip us up. One, we start to try to analyze. We analyze, we defend, we go into that detective problem-solving mode. I'm going to figure this out. And if I can figure out the magic combination, then blah, blah, blah. Then what? Then I'll have the answer. Then I'll know how to fix this. Then I'll see that it wasn't my fault. Then I will what? Many, many things. What? And by analyzing and defending and questioning or guessing, is not really questioning, it's our way of trying to get a handle on it, to get control of it. If I can figure it out, then I can have some control of it and it won't scare me. I'll have some power over it because right this minute I feel powerless. Because of all the facts. And the facts I can stay in. You know, if it, one of the facts was you were running around with that person, well then I can go after maybe trying to get you away from that friend. Now, when we get into that as parents or as spouses or friends, and what we're doing really is playing God. It doesn't feel that way sometimes. It feels like we're helping. But remember, codependents feel. Stay with me on this one. Codependents feel what they think the other person is feeling. Codependents feel what they think what the other person is feeling. And then they begin to presume and act accordingly. Now, it would be simpler. See, if I'm feeling like, you're feeling jealous because the table next to us in the restaurant had a big birthday celebration and everybody sang to you and we don't have anything planned. So I'm going to encourage maybe somebody who's talking with the waiters to tell them, hey, it's her birthday. Be sure and say that. Because I'm feeling like you're going to be disappointed if we don't have as much celebration for your birthday at our table as they did one table over. Now, instead, I could have asked you, what would you like to do for your birthday tonight? A direct question. See, a lot of times codependents are very uncomfortable with direct questions. Because what if you don't want to answer them? What if I'm wrong? What if my figuring it out is all wrong? Okay. So I guess what I'm asking you to begin to look at is, first of all, try to look at, am I feeling what I think they're feeling? And a way out of that is to ask them. So you tell me a story and I'm thinking, oh my gosh, that must have hurt them so badly. If I do that, they're going to feel terrible and they're going to feel I've abandoned them and blah, blah, blah. Instead of me just simply asking a direct question, I'll do all these dances around it to try to figure it out and then behave accordingly. Now, let's say I'm concerned you might relapse. And I'm your partner, your lover, your mother, your father, whatever. And I'll do all sorts of detective work instead of asking you, are you uncomfortable? And are you worried about a possible relapse? And do you have any suggestion on how I get my head around worrying about your relapse? That is a much more direct question that we might could have a dialogue about, rather than me thinking, oh dear, I wonder if they're scared and they are going to relapse, so I'm going to do A, B, C, and D so that I can help them not relapse. Well, not only is that not my business, but it probably would make you feel like I'm micromanaging your life. So think about what's happening in your life right this minute. Did you have an argument with somebody? Boss, friend, kid, partner? What'd you argue about? Okay, that's not really what was you're arguing about. What are you arguing about? What's the process? What's the underneath tremor that's happening? Is there the fact that you don't trust me? Is there the fact that I've lied to you and you don't have your trust of me back because I have not proven myself to you? Is it that you need some reassurance about some aspect of our relationship? So what it all boils down to, if you're getting stuck in the story and you're trying to figure it out and defend, what you're doing is not trusting your higher power. Not trusting your higher power. If you were to drop off the face of the earth today, that other person would figure it out. May not be what you would plan for, but they'd figure it out. So what is preventing you in this situation, instead of trying to, quote, figure it out and find that magic combination so that blah, 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 what if you were simply to turn the whole situation over to this God that you may not understand and simply say, do for him what he can't do for himself. Do for her what she can't do for herself. Do for our relationship what we can't seem to do for ourselves. You take it. Now see, if we invite God into the pain, if we invite God in when we're in pain, we're liable to settle when we get a little relief. And we might feel better, but the core belief system that we have doesn't change. Now here's a subtle way to listen to your prayers, or it's a more confusing way. All right, if I asked you to come over and help me move the couch, please come over Saturday and help me move the couch. What do you know about those facts? The facts are, I'm going to move the couch, and I'm going to do it on Saturday. Thirdly, I can't move it myself, so I need you to come help with my plan. So you come over, you get on one end, I get on the other, and we move the couch. Now I'm happy. Relief, it's here. The couch is a new position. I didn't need you to do it for me. I just needed you to help me. So you were my assistant. Now, if I say to my higher power, help me move the couch, help me with so-and-so problem, help me not worry as much, help me with my anxiety, help me with my depression, help me with my relationship with my blah, blah, I'm treating my higher power as an assistant to my agenda. I'm trying to fix this thing, and so I just need your help, higher power. Come on in and help me a little bit. Come help me move the couch. When what I should be saying is treating my higher power like it is the source, not he, she, it, or they are some form of assistance or an assistant to me. But higher power, spirit, divine intelligence, God, whatever you call this thing, remove my anxiety. Remove my fear. Care for my daughter. Take care of my son. Take care. You're the source. You're the person, place, or thing that can change and correct and heal this setting. So do that now. Do that. It's not that I need assistance. It's that concept, that entity will handle the situation. And actually doesn't need my help and would like for me to get out of the way. Okay. I don't know whether I'm explaining this in a way that you can understand it, but you've got to keep bringing yourself back to the present and simply say, God, you do this. Do for him, do for her what they cannot do for themselves. Do for me what I cannot do for myself right here and right now. Reveal to me what's still blocking me. See, not so that I can fix it, but that so that I can be aware every time it comes up and give it to you to heal. That's transformation. That's change. That's real core belief system change, not just temporary relief. See, when we come to this higher power out of wisdom and say, heal this, show me, take this, The results are much more rapid, and we're in the present. Try that this week. And if I haven't made any sense, let me know. It's a hard concept to explain, much less to do. I wish you all the luck in trying this new approach to this mind training program called Introspection and Personal Spiritual Growth.
Thank you for listening to The Recovered Therapist, where we keep topics honest, simple, and hopeful. I love you. There's not a damn thing you can do about it. Until next time.